Hello and welcome to another Premier League review show on Football Talk Podcast. My name is Ozzy and I'm your host for today's show. Match week 31 has just ended, but match week 32 begins from tomorrow. So the games are piling up as the days go on. Some interesting results during midweek. All three title challenges were victorious, so no change in the order of the top three. Chelsea pulled out a surprising result to break the hearts of Manchester United fans. Spurs failed to capitalise for their quest to get fourth position and drop points against West Ham, and some other interesting results in regards to the relegation battle. But today, we'll begin with our review with Liverpool versus Sheffield United. So, there we go. The game should have been a walk in the park, as on paper, it's first position versus last position. But as a Liverpool fan, you know, we know from our history that we seem to struggle against low block teams, especially during the latter stages of the season. But thankfully, Liverpool managed to get the win in the end. But it wasn't all plain sailing for the Reds. Sheffield United almost opened the scoreline in the opening minute of the game. Crucial save from Kelleher. The game was quite open in the opening 15 minutes, which was not for my liking. But luckily for Liverpool, Darwin Nunez broke the deadlock with his pressing and persistence as he manages to block a routine clearance from the Sheffield United goalkeeper, Grbic. The ball hits the bottom of his foot and rolls into the back of the net. After that, Liverpool were in control of the game heading into the second half, but Liverpool suffered a huge blow out of nowhere as Sheffield United equalised through a Conor Bradley on goal. The crowd went quiet and there was a nervy atmosphere in the stadium, but with half an hour remaining, there's plenty of time to get the winner. But Liverpool did more than that. Alexis McAllister scores in the 76th minute with an unbelievable strike. The way he smashed that ball into the top corner was very reminiscent of Gerrard's banger against Olympiakos in 2005. He was sensational in this game. And for me, he's been in the signing of the season in the Premier League, not just Liverpool. So if you agree or disagree, let me know in the comments. Or if you do disagree, who do you believe has been the Premier League signing of the season? But back to the game. Liverpool then got the third goal in the 90th minute. Robertson, who had a great impact off the bench, as well as the other subs, to be fair, crosses from deep towards Cody Gakpo. He heads the ball fantastically into the bottom corner. Personally, I'm really pleased for Cody Gakpo. He's had a tough few weeks due to his inconsistent form, but hopefully that goal gives him a boost and more confidence going into upcoming fixtures. So a great win for Liverpool, who remain at the top of the table. The next fixture is as big as it gets, as it's against our rivals, Manchester United, this Sunday at Old Trafford. Revenge is on the cards after losing 4-3 in the FA Cup quarterfinals not so long ago. Next fixture, Arsenal versus Luton Town, which ended 2-0 to Arsenal. Arsenal are back to winning ways after their disappointing result against City over the weekend. Captain Martin Odegaard opens the scoreline with a lovely left-footed strike into the back of the net. Some of their squad's players were given some minutes with the likes of Reece Nelson and Smith Rowe. And speaking of Smith Rowe, he almost made it 2-0 for the Gunners, but his effort was saved by Kaminsky. But Smith Rowe becomes the provider for the second goal as he cuts back a pass from the left side towards Reece Nelson, who's in the six-yard box. But it was Luton's Hasioka who unfortunately gets the last touch and ends up scoring their own goal. But at that stage, Arsenal wouldn't care about that. They've managed to secure the win and also a clean sheet. And that victory puts them in second spot. They were first initially, mostly after Liverpool's win yesterday. They're back into second position. The next fixture, Manchester City versus Aston Villa. What a great victory and response from Man City. A lot has been made of their title credentials after that goalless result against Arsenal. But this game was the perfect reminder of what they're capable of, and not to dispel their chances of regaining the title due to recent results. This fixture was labelled as a potential banana skin, as Villa have been on the rise this season and are challenging for a top four finish. But in this game, they were no match for the Blue Sharks. It didn't take City too long to get on the score sheet. Nice low cross from Doku on the right-hand side, and Rodri, who seems to have taken over Gundogan's role as the goal-scoring midfielder of the City team, comes charging in and smashes the ball into the back of the net. Debatable one for me, as it appeared that Doku may have been offside before that goal had happened, but VAR thought otherwise and awarded the goal. But Villa responded with an equaliser as Duran does a 1-2 with Rodgers, and fair play to Duran, applies a clinical left-footed finish into the bottom corner. But just before half-time, Foden scores from a free kick to give City the lead again. Poor defending from Villa, as their wall was not compact enough. Foden pretty much passed the ball into the goal, and that gave City a huge confidence going into the second half. Foden gets his second goal of the game around the hour mark. Lovely quick feet from Rodri with the Iniesta skill there on the edge of the box. Lays it off to Foden, who hits a low shot posting in. And a few minutes later, Foden was able to claim his hat-trick with a thunderbolt into the top corner. Showed great persistence in regaining the ball and thoroughly deserved his goal after a great performance. I've said it many times this season, Phil Foden for me is the young player of the season, maybe even player of the season to some. So drop a comment, let me know what you guys think. But a great victory for the Citizens. They're still in third position with 67 points. The next fixture is this Saturday against Crystal Palace at Selhurst Park, which is a tricky game. And that's a bit of a bogey team and a bogey ground for Man City. So from a Liverpool fan's point of view, fingers crossed, Palace take points off the board. So yeah, let's just see how that goes. Next fixture. What a crazy game this ended up being. The El Clasico, as it was labelled, a 7-goal thriller with the winning goal coming at the last second of the game. And I believe it was around the 111th minute that goal happened as well, which is crazy in terms of the amount of extra time that was played. But let's go through the key moments of the game. Chelsea opened the scoreline. Great finish from Conor Gallagher inside the box. But it went from bad to worse for Manchester United as Cucurella is fouled by Antony in the box. Penalty given. Cole Palmer steps up and finishes clinically in the bottom corner to give Chelsea a 2-0 lead after 20 minutes in the first half. But fair play to United. They kept going on. The first goal was a huge mistake by Chelsea's, or should I say the league's record signing, Moises Caicedo, or should I say Concedo. He gives the ball away to Garnacho, who's through on goal, and he finishes to make it 2-1. Then a few minutes later, United get the equaliser just before halftime through a Bruno Fernandes header. That's the collector's item there, as he doesn't score many headers. And in the second half, Antony produces an unbelievable assist with the outside of his foot from the right wing. He finds Garnacho in the middle of the box, and he manages to nod the ball into the goal to give United the lead. But this is when the madness happened. In the 100th minute, Dalot gives the ball away, or should I say, gives a stupid penalty away in the end as he fouled Madueke. He wasn't even trying to get the ball. He pretty much just threw his body at the player. Always going to be a penalty. Cole Palmer steps up. Deja vu. He slots the ball into the same corner as he did in the first half with the same outcome. So at this stage, the game is set to be finished, but somehow Chelsea managed to get the crucial winner in the last second of the game. A quick corner from Enzo to Cole Palmer. He hits a shot towards goal, gets a deflection off McTominay, but the ball hits the back of the net and it also seals Cole Palmer's hat-trick. And what a crazy end to the game. Manchester United fans will be heartbroken with that result. And in terms of their current form right now, their morale will be low. And especially going into that next fixture against Liverpool, which could go in their favour. Next fixture, West Ham versus Tottenham, which ended 1-1. Now, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but this was the game where Spurs could have leapfrogged Villa into fourth position. But in Spursy fashion, they bottled it again. West Ham are not a terrible team and far from it. But they haven't been in the best of form in recent weeks. They haven't won a league game since the 2nd of March, which they beat Everton 3-1. So this was a match for the taking. So Spurs started the game positively as Brennan Johnson opens the score sheet with a tap-in. But then Kurt Zouma equalises with a fantastic guided header to make it 1-1. West Ham really gave it a go and could have easily have clinched the win in the end, especially Antonio, who was one-on-one with the goalkeeper, but his shot was straight at the keeper. But Udogie has a late effort in the last stage of the game, but his shot didn't trouble the keeper and it was straight at his arms. Spurs will be gutted that they didn't get the win in the end, but credit to the Hammers, who for me deserved the point and maybe even the win, as they were by far the more attack-minded team. Spurs remain in fifth place, 2 points away from Villa, but it's not the worst result. They still have a game in hand, but they need to make sure they capitalise next time, as if they fail to get top four, it will be due to their own form and not killing games. Now in other games, Newcastle versus Everton, which ended 1-1, Everton managed to claim a huge point against the Toonami. Isak was on fire and has been this season, scoring in the last five games. Great finish from the striker, who attacked the left channel and finished in style to give Newcastle the lead. The ref awards a penalty to Everton as Beto was brought to the ground by Dan Byrne. Calvert-Lewin steps up and just about hits the back of the net as Dubravka got a hand to the ball. And that's weight off his shoulders. And that's his first goal since November in match week 10 against West Ham. So it's been a long time coming for the striker. But for Everton, they remain in 16th place and Newcastle remain in 8th place in the league. The next fixture, Nottingham Forest versus Fulham. A huge win for Forest against a Fulham team that have picked up some form in recent games. Callum Hudson-Odoi opens the scoreline with a nice finish from the left side. Chris Wood scores a clever goal from outside of the box. On the half turn, he shoots from distance. Leno is flat-footed and in no man's land, to be fair. Chris Wood manages to find the bottom corner to make it 2-0. Gibbs White makes it 3-0. Lovely clinical finish from the midfielder. And Fulham managed to get a consolation goal through Tosin's header. Forest remain in 17th position, but the gap is now 3 points from Luton Town, who are currently in 18th place. Next fixture, Bournemouth versus Crystal Palace. Another big win for the Cherries at the Vitality Stadium. That's 3 wins in a row now. Justin Kluivert scores late in the game, but with a fantastic left-footed strike. Great impact from Semenyo on the right-hand side. And that victory puts Bournemouth to 11th place in the league. What a season they're having under Iraola. Next fixture, Burnley versus Wolves. The goal from Burnley, what an exquisite finish from Brun Larsen. He made that finish look very, very easy. Great goal from the Danish attacker there. But Wolves equalised just before half-time. Ait Nouri is on the score sheet yet again from close range with a header. And that's 3 goals in 4 games for the left wing-back. He's a player I really like. And from a Liverpool point of view, someone I believe we should target in the summer. But that would also depend on who we appoint as manager. But that's another discussion for another day. Back to the game. Ait Nouri maybe should have scored a second goal in the second half, but his effort was blocked by Muric. Burnley created a lot of chances, especially through Odobert, but they weren't able to convert. A frustrating draw for Burnley, but at least they walk away with a point. And the final fixture, Brentford versus Brighton. A goalless result. Tony probably had the best chance to grab the winner for Brentford as he was through on goal, but unfortunately he stumbled before applying the shot as he was pretty much off balance. The ref surprisingly overrules a potential penalty shout from VAR as Lewis Dunk was fouled in the box. Now you don't see that too often, and fair play to the ref for doing that. Ultimately, they should be making a final decision and not let VAR influence the outcome. Obviously, we've seen that during the season, that's not always the case. But Welbeck almost got the win for Brighton in the end, but his shot just missed the target. An evenly contested game with two top quality coaches, so a fair result for me in the end. That is my review of Match Week 31. Just got a comment here from Daz. Big up, Daz. He said, best Aussie. Any idea if Trent and Jota could be back for Thursday? From what we've heard from Jurgen Klopp, they will be back in training from next week. So they do have a chance of returning to the squad on Thursday. Whether they start, I would say it's a bit too soon, but I do expect them to be on the bench against Atalanta. So yeah, fingers crossed that they're available. And that also includes Alisson to that list as well. So before we close the show, I'm going to announce the FPL Manager of the Week, and that goes to Abbas Karouni. His name is Team Abbas, straight and simple there. And he managed to get 97 points. So well done to Abbas, making Cole Palmer captain end up being a very wise decision. I wish I had done that, to be fair. But his points tally has moved him up the table to 24th position. Now, in terms of my performance, I managed to get 55 points. A few players let me down. I had two players with a zero score and another player with minus one. So, yeah, definitely didn't help with my final score there. But I remain in 48th position in the league. But before we go, let's have a look at the table and let's see what the top 10 is appearing. See if there's any changes or any movers and shakers in the league. So let's have a look. So our top spot is Jordan Smith. He is in number one. Joseph Harrison still remains in second place. Anas moves up to third position with his team FPO Doka. Vipin Mohan has dropped to fourth. His team is a special one. Lebanese Saka has moved up to fifth. Tayo Aziz has stayed in sixth position. And then you've got Sebastian Tunic moving up to seventh. Ali Asghar dropping to eighth. Nana Sari moving back into the top 10 in ninth. And then we've got Piras Verma, who I believe is a new entry, and he has moved up to 10th in the league. So that's the top 10. In terms of the gap, it's not very huge. So a lot can happen in the remaining 8 weeks of the Premier League, which is such a crazy thing to say. Only a few weeks left now. So yeah, crunch time for a lot of the teams. And let's see how well we do as FPL managers. But that's the end for today. So thank you to everyone for tuning in. Thank you, Daz, for your comment as always. If you haven't already, please don't forget to like, comment, share and subscribe. The next Premier League review show will take place on Monday, the 8th of April. So only 3 days away. But I will be back this Sunday to do the watch along of Manchester United versus Liverpool this Sunday at around 3:20 p.m. And then I'll do a match reaction later in the evening at 10 p.m. UK time. So until then, take care, stay safe, enjoy the rest of the evening and the weekend, and I hope to see you all on Sunday. Goodbye.